and welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, Loose Him and Let Him Go. And now with the word, here's Brother John.
This week we've been using John chapter 8 as a foundation for liberty from verse 30. As he spoke these words, many came to believe in him. Then said Jesus to those Jews who had believed in him, I'm just quoting for you from John 8. If you abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And this week we've been looking at things that shackle us and bind us and keep us from walking in that glorious liberty that Jesus has provided for us. And we started in, and I spoke about abiding in the word of Christ, and the Lord spoke this to me, that today I was to speak about hearing his voice. Because we're going to be talking about anointing. And one of the most critical things that I've discovered about anointing is this. He's not going to entrust great anointing to somebody who is reckless. Someone who is not responsible with the anointing. And responsibility with the anointing means you follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. You follow his leadership. And so this morning's message is critical to the anointing, but it also sums up where freedom is. The freedom in the Christian life is the freedom of hearing his voice. Now, I've gone through a long process of emptying and transforming in this whole area, and at various points in the 3-week meeting, and even over this week, I've shared some of the things that the Lord has done to bring me to that, because I had to come out of legalism where you just listened to law, you stayed within the confines of the parameters of the law, you know, and sort of dealt with a whole bunch of guilt and so on. And now stepping over into the liberty of the Holy Spirit. And as we saw yesterday, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Romans 8:16, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so yesterday we were establishing that the whole of the life in the new covenant is by the Spirit. Well, that's wonderful if you can hear the Spirit. Right? But of a problem if you can't hear. Now, I want to say this right to begin with. I believe all of us do hear the Spirit, but we just don't trust ourselves. And the biggest problem in hearing God is not hearing God, but believing that you are hearing him. And so what I'm going to be sharing this morning is geared toward the point of building confidence in our ability to hear God. And I'm going to make it as simple and as practical as I can as we go on, so that it's going to bring a lot of peace to you and a lot of relief to you. It isn't such a difficult thing to hear the voice of the Father. All right? In John chapter, did I say 4? I meant 5. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself or of his own initiative, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he, that is the Father, does, the Son also does in like manner." So that's the principle. Jesus said, "I don't do things of my own initiative. I don't do things and then say, 'Father, bless what I do.'" He said, "I only do what I see the Father doing. What I see the Father doing, I do." That is the whole nature of sonship. Sonship is emulation of what the Father is doing. Now, according to Galatians chapter 4, and I preached that message last time, we're no longer servants, we're sons. But Galatians chapter 4 says, we have received the same spirit of sonship that was in Jesus. And therefore, we are to function like Jesus functioned as a son, in hearing the Father's voice. Now, therefore, the next verse is so important. Look at what the next verse says. Verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and the daughter, and shows him or her all things that he himself does. Do you think it's legitimate for us to apply that generally to all the sons and daughters of God? You better believe it. If you don't believe it, you won't hear. See, if you don't believe that God loves you and wants to show you everything that he's doing, you will live in darkness and in confusion. You've got to believe that you have as much right to hear the Father's voice as Jesus had. And you know why? Because you have the same Spirit dwelling in you that was in Jesus. See, the Spirit that dwelt in Jesus, the Spirit of the Father, told him everything. Now, do we have a different Spirit or do we have the same Spirit? See? So we've got to believe that the Father loves you and wants to show you. Now, religion that many of us have come out of said, well, the Father's mad at you and he's not going to show you anything. Come on. That's the way many of us, when you were in legalism and religion, believed, God's not going to talk to me. I'm just such an unworthy specimen. Why would God tell me anything? See, that's what so many of us are coming out of. Now, some of you didn't come in through religion. Some of you were godless. You got saved, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and you just started hearing the Holy Ghost. It was religion that fouled you up after that. You know, and the church told you, you can't hear God. You know, don't follow that inner prompting. You could get off and do crazy things. Yeah, you could do crazy things. You know, sure you could. But aren't you tired of the kind of system that we have in the church where nobody does anything crazy and doesn't accomplish much for the kingdom and the devil isn't shaken by us because we're so, as Brother John said, what was that you said about us? Low risk, that's right. I mean, we just look for the lowest common denominator, easiest path, you know. I'd rather go around the mountain than try and get over it, you know. I'm telling you, God's wanting to stir in our spirits that boldness, and the boldness and confidence comes from knowing he loves me and he wants to talk to me. Now, let's build on that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because I want you to see that God's not holding out on you. He's not mad at you. He's not saying, I'll wait until you get more mature and more trustworthy, then I'll talk to you. He's not doing that. Bev stressed the other night when she was sharing from John chapter 10. Jesus said, other sheep have I who have not of this fold, them also I must bring in, and they shall hear my voice. New sheep, baby sheep, can also hear his voice. It's not just the old mature rams, you know. It's baby sheep can also hear his voice. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Just stop there. Don't read the next verse. Stop. They all, yeah. As soon as you say, don't read the next verse, see, that's the nature of the law. I told you about it. When the law says, don't do a thing, immediately you start reading it. Why doesn't he want me to read the next verse? And you start reading it. Now, literally, in my heart, I can remember sort of believing that. Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And I'll never forget when God opened up this passage to me. It was in Gweru, in Zimbabwe, when I was pastoring there. And I was in my study one day, And I had been studying through 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and into chapter 2 about the wisdom of man. I can remember God giving me all of this revelation and writing it down. And man, it was big stuff. And I began to recognize how much of my theological education was simply the wisdom of man. And I can remember going through to the kitchen where Bev was in the kitchen and sharing all this with her. I mean, I can remember it so clearly because it was like beginning to explode within me. I can hear God. See? And I realized I'd been so bound by the limitations of human wisdom. And that's what Paul deals with in the earlier part of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2. And I'm telling you, man's wisdom gets you to the place of the inscrutability of God. His ways are past finding out. You don't know what he's up to. You just sort of go along, you know, and you know God's hand in hindsight. You know, after it's over, you see God's hand. But you don't know ahead of the time what God is doing. And you see, that's religion. But what does Paul say? Now you can read the next verse. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us. How? Through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the how much things of God? The deep things of God. Now look at verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? In other words, who knows what you're thinking better than your spirit within you? See? Now look what he goes on to say. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. In other words, what he's trying to say is this. The Spirit of God knows exactly what God is thinking. He knows the deepest things that are going on in God's thinking. The Spirit is not in the dark about the thoughts and the purposes of God. The Holy Spirit knows it all. And guess where he lives? He lived in Jesus, and so Jesus could know the Father's mind and could hear the Father's voice and could see what the Father was doing. And God's Holy Spirit dwells in you so that you can know the Father's mind and hear the Father's voice and see what the Father is doing. It has been a deception on the church. And it has all been based on this whole thing of unworthiness of religion, and that it is only those who are more mature who get to know the deep things of God. And it's a Gnosticism. It's the same heresy that was in the early church, that it is only to the few who have gone through initiation into the deeper things who can know the deeper things of God. And that's a lie. And religion has perpetrated that lie and perpetuated the lie in the church. We can know the mind of God. We can know the will of God. We have the capacity. Why? Because we have His Spirit, who knows it all, living within us. All right, now look at the next verse. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Okay? Let's ask this. What has He freely given to us? Everything the Bible says. Romans 8, he says, 32, he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, His divine grace has granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him by His own glory and virtue. It doesn't depend on your virtue, it's by His virtue. He says, I'm giving it to you. All things that pertain to life and godliness. If there's anything you need for life in your physical body, in the material world, I provide it. Anything you need for godliness, your spiritual needs, it's provided. Everything you need for life and godliness is given to you. So He's not withholding anything from you. He's not. And you see, this is according to your faith, be it unto you. You see, if you believe He's withholding, guess what? You'll live. in darkness. But if you'll believe, he's going to show you everything. You can see everything. See why that little phrase, according to your faith be it unto you, is so important, why Jesus used it often? See, you can have whatever you're willing to believe that God has said. But if you won't believe that he's as good as he said and as loving as he said, and he loves you as much as he said, you will live in ignorance. Now, here is the big problem. This verse highlights the biggest problem of why we cannot hear God. What do you think it is? Look at verse 12 again. And tell me what you think it is that is keeping us from hearing the Spirit of God. The spirit of the world. It is a spirit, people. Hello. You see, worldliness is not just a bunch of things that you do or that you don't do, but it's imbibing and receiving a spirit that is behind worldly thinking, worldly activity, worldly responses, worldly whatever. It is, there's a spirit behind there that says, do it the world's way. So, and that's what he's been talking about. He's been talking about worldly human wisdom. And our biggest problem is this, that we've drunk so deeply of the fountain of human reason and human wisdom. And so when we hear God, we're hearing against this big old thing inside of us that is so full of human reason. Come on, those of you who've been in leadership in church know exactly what I'm talking about. God gives revelation to a preacher. He goes to the leadership council, whatever it might be, board of deacons, board of elders, and shares the will of God. And what does he get back? We can't afford it. We can't afford it. Our budget is not adequate. And all the doubt and unbelief and why it can't work and why it won't work and why we might as well not even try it and so on. The spirit of the world, instead of faith arising and men saying, well, brother, if you believe you're hearing God, let's get on our faces before God and let's ask God to put it in all of our hearts and bring us in a unity of the spirit to know this is the mind of God. But we start airing our opinions and it's all the spirit of the world. We don't stop and say, let's get on our faces and hear the voice of God. It's all human reason. And then we wonder why we're not seeing the supernatural power of God. Because the spirit of the world has pervaded the church of Jesus Christ. And so then we're not receiving the things that are freely given to us of God. See, and that's what you're going to find. The biggest problem that you're going to have in hearing the voice of the Father and hearing the Holy Spirit is that spirit of the world, because he's going to tell you stuff that violates common sense. The biggest problem you're going to have in hearing the voice of the Spirit is because he's going to violate, what did I say? Well, all the reason within you, particularly what we call common sense, which most of the time is really common, and it's not sense. See, common sense is generally tradition. See? It's what has been passed down through the generations that sounds like wisdom. And many times there is some wisdom in it, but because it becomes the place of doubt and unbelief against God, it is the spirit of the world. I shared this story before, but I'm going to share it again. You know, when we were in the process of hearing God in the family, and it was really exciting with the kids. Bev shared about how, you know, we taught, you know, she began teaching Brad to hear the voice of God, and we have so many interesting stories about that with our children. But here's one that I know I shared before, but you know, you've forgotten it, and others of you haven't heard it, so I'm going to tell it again. Brad came to me one day and he said, Dad, will you advance me some money of my allowance money? And so all the wisdom of the world came up within me that my daddy had raised me in, which was, if you can't pay cash for it, you don't need it. So I said, Brad, I'm not going to advance you any money, because if you can't pay cash for it, you don't need it. But, I said, I'll ask the Father. So I went to the Father and I said, Lord, what should I do? And he said, buy the whole thing for your son. And then I started reasoning and I said, but God, things that children get too easily, they don't appreciate. He said, where did you find that in the Word? Hello? See? Where's that in the Bible? Is that revelation knowledge? No, that's the wisdom of the world. And God said that's the very thing that has corrupted the church with religion, where people feel like they've got to pay God or their salvation is worthless. So people don't know how to receive the free gift of God's love and God's grace because they always feel I've got to pay Him. Hello? Because if you don't pay something for it, it's worthless. But salvation is free. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You don't owe Him a penny. He freely forgave you. You don't owe Him. You don't owe Him. Paul never said, I'm a debtor to God. He said, I'm a debtor to the Jews and to the Gentiles. He saw his indebtedness, but he never said, I owe God. You don't owe Him. You can't pay Him back, so why? You can't owe Him. How can you pay Him for salvation? It's ridiculous. All to Him I owe. If you could give Him everything you owe, you still couldn't pay Him for the gift of salvation. But we sing the song, and then we wonder why we're in the mess we're in. Because we've sung lies. And it's that mentality that blocks us, because God wants to bless us. And I know, we feel, but I haven't done anything that deserves it. I'm just not worthy of it. And God says, just get out of my way and let me bless you. Oh no, I've just not done enough. I'm not worthy. I'm telling you, He wants to freely give you things. That's what the Word says. He wants you to know the things that are freely, 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 freely. But we've got this buy mentality, earn, deserve, work for mentality. And as a result, God's sitting there with all of these gifts and these blessings that He longs to bestow upon His children, and we cannot receive them. Why? Because we've received the spirit of the world that says, you're just not worthy, and all the other garbage, based, you know. The first lie that He exposed in me was that one. If you don't, you know, if you get it too easily, you don't appreciate it. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The second thing that I said to him, I said, but there's no occasion. It's not Christmas, birthday, or good grades. He said, why do you need an occasion to show love? Come on. And then he showed me how that mentality has affected the church. If God blesses us, we look for some reason within ourselves why He blessed us. Oh, God is blessing me because I'm a tither. Or, and this is the most horrible side of it, if something goes wrong, we look for something to blame in ourselves. We're still living in the law, and we show it by that activity. See, God has got so much that He wants to pour on His children, but we've got this fouled up worldly thinking that says, oh, God will only give me something when I've done something special to deserve it. And so we're looking for occasions within us. The third thing that I said to God is, Lord, if children are given too many gifts, it'll spoil them, because, you know, parents give gifts instead of giving love. And, I mean, you know, that one, you can see how he quickly exploded that thing. But he said this to me. He said, go and buy it and watch what happens. So I went, bought the thing, wrapped it, put it on Brad's bed. Couldn't wait for him to get home from school that afternoon. When he came in from school, I walked behind him to his bedroom. He went and saw the thing on his bed. He opened the parcel. And when he saw what it was, he just turned around and ran into my arms and put his arms around me. He said, "Oh, Daddy, I love you. I love you. I love you. Bev's going to talk on Saturday about the gifts of the bride and what the gifts are for." I'm telling you, he lavishes his gifts on us because he knows what gifts do. Gifts draw you to the giver.
Hallelujah.
Unless you got stinking worldly thinking. See, because then you think, well, I'm pretty good. God's blessing me because of me. See, and that's what the church has had. We've had pride over God's blessings, pride over the gifts. And so the gifts have become a curse in many churches because it's become a source of boasting or condemnation of others. God's saying, man, you've only just begun. Those are just, you know, just the beginning. You must know what other gifts I have for the church. I've got stuff that'll blow you clean out of the water. See, I'm telling you, I don't believe we've begun to see half of what God has for his church. You know why? The word says, eye has not seen, nor has the ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. I'm telling you, before Jesus comes back for his bride, he's going to lavish his bride with such glory and beauty and so wonder. We are going to be a spectacle in the world. It's going to be glorious. The closer you get to the wedding, the more he's going to pour out his oils and his spices to beautify his bride and get her ready. And she's going to look like, Mom, I'm telling you something, but we're going to have to get rid of this spirit of the world. Because the stinking thinking of the world is keeping us from receiving those things that are freely given to us of God. Okay, look at the next verse. Here's a big problem. Verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The best translation of that is expressing spiritual things in spiritual words. See, one of the big problems we've had is this. We get a revelation from God, then we think how we can explain it to people and satisfy their rational minds. Come on. God said to me one day, he said, "Son, you'd have no problem obeying me if you didn't always think how you're going to explain it to your family and to others." Why do you want to make it satisfactory to the reason of the natural man? See, I know I hear God, but then you hear the voice of God and you think, well, how's this going to look to people if I do what I believe I'm hearing God doing? They're going to think I'm crazy. So immediately we start trying to express spiritual truths. You see, so many of you know this. You've been in a situation where you know you heard God. It was far out. It was crazy. And then you got out of that heat of the moment and reason took over and you started thinking, well, boy, I'm not sure about this. You know, boy, this could, you know, wow. That's happened to me many times. I've seen it happen to others. In a meeting, under the anointing, the Spirit of God speaks to them and it's like, yes, that's right. And then they get out and the mind starts reasoning it through and you start thinking, boy, that's going to look crazy. Wow, I'm not sure about that, you know, kind of thing. See, what we don't do is just simply say what God said. He said to do it, I'm doing it, and we don't reason beyond that. See, and he goes on in the next verse and he says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Don't try to explain what you've heard in the Spirit in natural terms. You're appealing to a man's natural mind. You've got to speak to a man's spirit and let him discern by the Spirit. See, and so that's what we do. We get a revelation from God, then we try and interpret and explain it to a man instead of saying, well, I've heard God. And I, you know, all I can is express it is in how God said it to me, and I'm trusting you to spiritually discern it. If you start getting into a conversation with human wisdom and try and explain it all, you're both going to get into unbelief. You're both going to say, this is irrational, this is stupid, you know, this couldn't have been God, and so on, and you'll talk your way right out of doing the will of God. Don't try and reason the will of God. Don't try and reason it. Bev and I can tell you that. I mean, we hear God and we dare not get into reason. We just obey what He says, even if it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. Because as soon as you start trying to make it satisfactory to the natural mind, you're getting into the spirit of the world. A spirit of rationalism, reason, the deification of reason, the exaltation of reason. And I'm not saying to you that the will of God is irrational, but it's irrational to the natural mind. Amen. It's very rational in the spirit man, but you've got to discern it by the spirit. You have to discern it by the spirit. And so that's what he says in the next verse. Look at this. But he who is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is discerned by no one. Don't try and understand me. I'm a mystery. And Jesus told me I'd be like that. He said in John chapter 3, he said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth." Now, that's one of the most misquoted passages of Scripture, because it's applied to the spirit. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus said, so is every one who is born of the spirit. He's not saying the spirit blows where it listens. He's saying that the one who is born of the spirit is like that. He's a mystery. You don't know where he's come from and where he's going. It's you. It's not the spirit. Hello. Is that just opening up some eyes right there? You see, we say, oh, the Spirit, He blows where He lists. No, that's not what John, the Spirit sure does that. But really, He's talking about, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You're a mystery to the world. Why do you want to explain yourself to the natural mind? They'll crucify you in any case. Well, they'll try and stone you to death.
Yeah.
And they can't understand. That's exactly right. You're a mystery. You always will be a mystery. If you're following the leadership of the Spirit, you are unexplainable to reason. And why do you want to be understood? See, and that's what God had to deal with me in Colossians chapter 3. The night one night, just prior to my resigning from the church in Gweru in Zimbabwe, I'd been hearing God calling me on this Abrahamic journey to sell everything, to leave my home country and go on a journey to a country that He was going to give to us. And what kept me from resigning from my church was my care of the flock. Because I said, Lord, we're in a Marxist country. People are leaving. I know what's going to happen. The flock are going to be wounded, going to be hurt. They're going to turn on me and say, what kind of shepherd are you to desert the flock? A captain is the last one to desert a sinking ship. Why are you bailing out on us? And so on. And I knew they'd be hurt, and so I postponed my obedience to what I heard the Spirit saying, because I cared about what the people would think and say. And finally, one night, the Holy Spirit said, stay up, I want to talk to you. And after Bev had gone to bed, I got alone in the Word, and He said, open up to Colossians 3, I want to talk to you. And I said, Lord, I know what's in Colossians 3. I've memorized it, I've studied it. And He said, but I've got something to say to you. And He, that night, highlighted two words. Your life is hidden when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. He said, I've called you to a hidden life. You know why? Because you're dead. You have no right to justify yourself or to explain yourself. You're hidden with Christ in God. Now quit trying to live before people and make everybody like you and understand you. You're born of the Spirit. You blow where you list. You cannot tell where you come from or where you're going. But you see, we want low risk lifestyles. And so we have low impact lifestyles. See, now, and I know every one of you is saying, Brother John, just put some safeguards around it. Because what you're saying could get us all going off in 1,000,000,000 directions and doing risky things. I'm telling you, that's better than sitting in the boat and criticizing Peter for stepping out on the water. I'm just tired of everybody being so safe and we don't do much for the kingdom of God. And I've determined, if I've heard his voice, I'm getting out on the water. If I sink, he'll pull me up. But it's better than staying in the boat. At least I got to walk on water. We're too cautious. We risk nothing and we don't see the glory of God. Because we're governed by fear. We're so afraid what it will look like in the eyes of others. And he says, man, you are discerned by no one. Don't submit. And boy, God dealt with me so strongly that night. And so when I went back and resigned, the people did exactly what I thought they would. They turned against me and God wouldn't let me explain my obedience. Wouldn't let me justify it. He was gracious. 10 years after I'd left that church, I went back to Zimbabwe to minister there and went and preached in the church. And one of the elders, who was one of the most outspoken critics, came to me and he says, Brother John, will you forgive me for speaking against you? I understand now. You were hearing God. I didn't understand then, and we were hurt. You know. See, you've got to leave it with God. You obey and leave that with God. Don't try and make everybody like you and understand you. You're like the wind. That's what Jesus said. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And some of us are just far too predictable. Everybody knows where we've come from and everybody knows where we're going. I mean, we've got it all set out and we've got it all planned. And I mean, you know, if you want to know where you're going, just go and ask your investment advisor. I mean, it's just all secure and all safe. The only way you can know where Bev and I are going is if you discern by the Spirit where we're going. Because I don't know in natural terms where we're going or how we're going to get there, and I don't care. I love the journey. It's one day journey at a time. See, this morning I was asking the Lord about tomorrow. What am I going to do tomorrow? And I was starting to think, and he reminded me of something I read. He said, take no thought for tomorrow. I was reading Matthew's gospel in my quiet time earlier. He said, sufficient unto day, the day of the trouble thereof. He says, I'll show you tomorrow what you do tomorrow. I said, okay, no more speculation. Say, Brother John, you can't live like that. Yes, you can. See, this world wants long-term security, but all you get is long-term death. There's no difference between a groove and a grave. Except a groove is a grave with the ends knocked out. Who wants to live in a groove? Oh dear. Now look at the next verse. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Now he's quoting from Isaiah, where Isaiah has got this incredible passage of the inscrutability of God and how powerful he is. And he sits above the circle of the earth and all men are like grasshoppers. And he measures the earth with a span and, you know, and I mean, all about the bucket and all the rest of it. And I mean, it's a wonderful chapter about the inscrutability of God. So Paul goes back and he quotes that and he says, who has known the mind of God that he should instruct him? Then he says, watch out. See, because of what the new covenant has done, we've got the mind of Christ. See, don't go back to Isaiah and say, oh yeah, God is so high and nobody can know what's going on. You know, you just walk around like this little bumblebee, you know, just buzzing everywhere and you don't know where you're going, you know, kind of thing. You just hope you don't. No, 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 no. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have. Not we will get it one day when we mature. We have the mind. How can we have the mind of Christ? Because we got the same Spirit dwelling us in us who dwells in Him. I like the way it says we have the mind of Christ. That's the anointed one. We have the same anointing that was on Jesus. So we have the mind of Christ. We say, well, Brother John, why is it that I'm not experienced? Because you have not learned to yield and obey the promptings of the Spirit. If Jesus taught, don't cast your pearls before swine, obviously that's what's in the mind of God. He ain't gonna cast pearls before swine. If He tells you something to do and you subject it to the reason of your mind, He's not going to come soon and tell you something else to do because He knows you'll subject it to your mind. He's looking for people who will instantly obey the promptings of the Spirit, and to them He will show all the treasures and the wonders and the glory of His purposes. See, your problem is not hearing God. Your problem is what you did with the last thing that you heard from Him. How did you deal with it? Most of us, the way we dealt with it was in unbelief. We just said, I don't believe that's God. I believe that's me. Okay. Now let's get on to some practical things. How do you know whether what you're hearing is the voice of God or not? Now, I said this earlier this week, and I want to stress it again. You will always live in confusion until you come to the point of recognizing that there are only two sources of voices. See, as long as you believe that there are three, you will live in confusion. See, either, since you have the mind of Christ, you have God's voice speaking to you, or you have, because of the unrenewed mind, you have an open door where Satan speaks to you. Now, see, what we've always believed is there's a third source, and that's my own thinking. But listen, if you have the mind of Christ, then your thinking that doesn't come from the devil is the mind of Christ. You've got to believe that, child of God. You must believe that, or the enemy will keep you in total, utter, constant confusion. It simplifies everything if you lay hold of this and say, I have the mind of Christ. It didn't say you might have or you will have some. He says, we have. We have the mind of the Anointed One. Why? Because we have the same Spirit dwelling in us. And the Spirit who dwells in us knows everything that is in the heart of God, the deep things of God. So, I mean, you have got dwelling within you the mind of God by His Spirit. Everything that's in the mind of God is in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says He's not reluctant to share anything with you. Now, that's too hard for some of you to believe because you've been so bound by religion. You've been so bound by unworthiness, by condemnation of the devil who's told you you're nothing but a horrible wretch of a Christian. You see, and that's why we've been dealing with all of these inner hurts and getting healed of this and getting healed of religion and showing you the religious bondage that's got you bound and so on, so that you can get free of that stuff, so that you can believe, I have the mind of Christ. I do hear God. Now, how then do you live? And I'm just going to give you a practical illustration. It makes it so simple. Makes it so easy. Well, not a practical illustration, but I'm going to show you how it works in practice. The Holy Spirit we saw yesterday or the day before, He convicts you of what? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So the Holy Spirit has been given to me to tell me if I've done something wrong, which would always be unbelief, or to tell me I'm righteous. Do you see that? He's come to convict you of sin and of righteousness. So he tells you when it's wrong and he tells you when it's right. He said of righteousness because I go to the Father. Why? Jesus at the right hand of the Father praying for you. He's not against you. He's for you. And the Holy Spirit is there to convict you of righteousness because Jesus, His blood has been shed for all your failure and all your sin. He's gone before the right hand of the Father. He's taken the blood of His sacrifice. He sprinkled the mercy seat. God's for you according to Romans chapter 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? The Father is for you. The Son is for you. The Spirit helps you with your infirmity. So the Spirit is for you. All three are for you. Nobody's against you. Somebody should be hollering and shouting and screaming by now, you know. See, you're not, God is not reluctant to show you His will and reluctant. You see, that's what we've got this picture of God. It's that old picture, and it's because of the poverty mentality that we have. It's the old picture of Bev when she was healed of poverty, when she saw Jesus standing in front of her with her hands, His hands like this, open. See, in Psalm 105 and Psalm 145 says this, these all look to Thee. Thou dost open Thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. You see, we've got an image of God of being close-fisted, mysterious, always withholding, because we had parents who were like that. See, your parents were secretive. Your parents were stingy. Your parents weren't open-handed and open-hearted. So you have this vision of God being stingy and withholding and secretive. And He isn't like that. Not since He sent His Son into the earth. His Son is His rhema, His Word, His Logos. And by the Spirit, we can hear the whole mind of God. You see, God is not sitting up in heaven saying, try and find me. He said, I want to be found by you, so I'm going to become man. I'm going to dwell amongst you so that you can see my glory. And John said, the Word, the Word, the Word, the whole communication of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I mean, God's not wanting to hide in a box. He says, I'm here and I want you to know what I'm like. And then when Jesus went, He said, man, it's to your advantage that I go away. Because you see, right now, I'm with you. But I want to come back in the person of the Spirit so that I can be right inside of you with all of my mind. Because the Holy Ghost, when He comes into you, He's going to take of all the things of mine and reveal them unto you. He's going to bring to you all your remembrance, the things that I have told you. I mean, what a deal. God dwelling in me with all of the mind of God, dwelling in me by the person of the Holy Spirit. I can know.
Yes.
What's the problem? Well, I'm not sure that was God. That might have just been me. I think I might have just thought that up. You're in trouble right there. See, now let me tell you what I reiterate what I said again. See, your enemy is the devil, and his battleground is your mind. He puts thoughts in your mind and then accuses you of having them. He lurks there, and when God speaks to you, He accuses you of having the thought and tries to neutralize the voice of God to you. Rough, isn't it? Now, that's why if you cancel out the third voice, you simplify everything. Because you say, it's either God or it's the devil. And since the Holy Spirit has been given to me to convict me of sin and of righteousness, I can rely absolutely on the Holy Spirit as the mediator within, or to use the term that the Bible refers to Him operating through the peace of God. He's the referee. And a referee is there to regulate the game. If everything is going right, he just don't blow a whistle. But if somebody breaks the rules, okay, that's exactly how the Holy Spirit functions within you. He bears witness to the truth And he checks you if it's not God. And the way you know it's not God is he blows the whistle, and the whistle is disturbed peace. Man, it simplifies hearing God. I'm telling you, child of God, it absolutely simplifies it. Because you don't go around worrying about all the peripheral stuff that the enemy keeps on accusing and, you know, selling. Either you're hearing his mind, either you're hearing his voice, you have the mind of Christ, or it's the devil, and you can be absolutely confident that the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, will show you if what you are operating on is not the truth, and if it's something that the enemy is there. He will check you. He will let you know. Now, of course, you can violate that. You know, you always have the choice. You might desire something so much that you violate that. But I'm telling you now, the Holy Spirit will always let you know when you are violating the mind of Christ within you and the will of God within you. Now, some of us, where we need to start is in repentance before him and say, Holy Spirit, I repent that many times I've listened to the voice of the devil, and when you've spoken to me, I've listened to the accuser telling me it was me. I'm sorry that I have shown such disrespect for your voice. I mean, we need to repent of the many times he has spoken and we've just said, oh, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's the first thing that we need to repent of. And the second thing we need to repent of is the times when he said no and we violated that. You know, and the peace was disturbed, but our desire was. Man, if you'll repent of those two things before him, immediately the blood of Jesus will cleanse you, and you can take up and start off in listening to his voice. It really is such a simple thing. He said, Brother John, no, you're making it too simple. I'm telling you, it's real simple. Because, and you know why? Because little children can hear the voice of the Lord. Little children sometimes hear better than big people because they aren't fouled up by all the religion. And I know this with all my heart. He will entrust the deeper depths of revelation to those who are trustworthy with the revelation. But why should he trust you with all the deep things if you're not, you know? And that's why, as Bev taught, I'm telling you, the place to start with practicing hearing his voice is in the things like, what am I going to wear today? What am I going to eat today? What should I put in the offering plate? When you start with the little things, I'm telling you, it's not a big crisis. When you've got to make a career choice, or whether to buy the house, or what kind of car to buy. So, Brother John, I don't believe God is interested in that. And I've heard some preachers say that God doesn't care what color of car you drive. If you believe that, according to your faith, be it unto you. But I'm telling you, if he watches the sparrow when it falls, he cares about the hairs on my head. He knows when I lost a hair in the shower this morning. He's real concerned about my hair. He must be concerned about my clothes. In fact, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says he does. He clothes you. He clothes the lilies. Won't he much more clothe you? He's infinitely concerned about every little detail. And it's in those little details that we can hear him. And it's there that we are to practice hearing his voice. And as Bev and I have grown in this, I mean, we've had some interesting experiences. I'll tell about one. Bev was driving along one day and the Lord said, go and visit so-and-so's house. She felt it was a prompting from the Lord. Well, you tell the story. I don't need to tell your story.
He usually tells the stories better than I do. Well, actually, I got into the car that day and I said, Lord, where are we going this day? And he said, I'd like you to go down to Tuesday Morning, which was a store that's only open 3 days, you know, 3 months a year or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not open all year round. And I went down there and it was closed. And so I said, well, I missed that one. Where should we go now, Lord? I'm just having this little conversation with him. And he said, well, let's go to Soup and Salad. So I went down the road to Pipeline. You know, it was 15 minutes away, and went down to Pipeline. And where it used to be, it wasn't anymore. And I said, good night, I missed this one too. So I thought, you know, well, I think I'll just head towards home. And as I was going down the one road, the Lord said, stop right here and buy a box of Twinkies. So I just whipped right in there, stopped, bought a box of Twinkies. I had no idea what they were for, who were they for. I didn't eat them, but I felt it was just the prompting in my spirit to do that. So I said, all right, I'm just going to head on home. And as I was heading on home, the Lord said, take the box of Twinkies, this is what I felt like he said, to Jenny. Well, I had to go right past her house on my way home, and I stopped at her house, and she wasn't there. So I'd been to three places where I felt like I'd missed it. And I realized at that point, I had a choice. I could either say, let's throw this out, it just doesn't work, I mean, this is hokey, I'm just imagining these things. Or I could say, I am not giving up, Lord, I'm hanging in there, I know I'm going to get better at hearing your voice, and I'm going to hear your voice, I'm committed to it. And as I was driving up the road, going on home, all of a sudden, that same voice within me said, take a right here and take the Twinkies to Mary's house. Well, I whipped around that corner real fast, and I stopped at Mary's house, and I thought, I'm having this little argument. Lord, she's not even there. She works. I mean, doesn't seem right. But as I knocked on the door, she came to the door. She was home just for 10 minutes. They were going through a total financial reversal. I mean, they were just in a mess, and I just told her, the Lord loves you so much, you want to have a box of Twinkies today. And I just loved on her, and I headed on home, and I headed on home with such joy in my heart, because he had taught me such an incredible lesson that day, just to follow the wind of the Spirit. And you know, I loved what you said about that John 3, or whatever, just John 3. I mean, just being blown by the Spirit. You know, so what that Jenny wasn't there? So what that soup and salad wasn't there? So what that the Tuesday morning? I was learning to hear the Spirit. Yeah. So it cost me a dollar in gas. But boy, did I ever learn. I mean, I was learning to hear his voice in trivial little bitty things, because he knew there were big things coming down the line where I'd be giving away rings, I'd be giving away jewelry, I'd be giving away thousands of dollars, we'd be giving away cars, we'd be doing big stuff that we needed to know this was his voice. But I learned it on the little bitty things, in the day-to-day thing.
And as you can see with that, those visits that she made were all part of the timing of God. She needed to still be out on the road during the 10-minute span that Mary was going to be at home. So those calls seemed fruitless, but the Holy Spirit was keeping her on the road to head to Mary's house just at the right in that 10-minute span that she'd be home. See, I'm telling you, it gets so exciting in hearing his voice. But there are those tests, but you just got to say, Lord, I trust you. Because, see, I've had him do so many similar things to me on the road when I was driving trucks. See, and he'd tell me to do a thing, and it seemed to have no point whatsoever. And I'd have to say, Lord, I just trust you. I obeyed you. I leave the consequences with you. But then there were the other times when he'd tell me to take certain turns, and it was for a purpose. You know, I can remember one time I was rolling down Interstate 20 in Louisiana. And I was just rolling along, and all of a sudden we were coming to a construction zone, and on the CB radio I just heard that, you know, there was an 18-wheeler that was having trouble in the construction zone, and it backed up traffic. And the Lord said, take a right here. And I dived off Interstate 20 onto US 80. And then the moment I got off, I heard that the truck had moved. And I said, oh Lord, you know, this is a waste of time. He says, keep on this road. I got on US 80, and I went by a church on US 80 with a sign on the marquee that was a message for me, and it was about high adventure. And I about did I just about blew my lid, because it was about talking about, I can't remember what it was, but it was about the life of faith being high adventure. And I just had a
a time with the Lord, just rejoicing. He just wanted me to see that sign on the church. I mean, just confirming life is such a high adventure when you're walking by faith. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, you know, I can't do it for you, but I'm telling you, it starts with just believing. I do hear Him. I do have the mind of Christ. It starts with believing, and this is where I've come to. Every thought that I have is the mind of Christ unless the Holy Spirit blows the whistle. It just so simplifies it. You see, why should it be something? Do I only hear the voice of God every now and then, or do I hear Him all the time? If I have the mind of Christ, doesn't His mind prevail in me? And so that's where I live. I live in that realm where every thought that I have is of Him, unless the Holy Spirit blows the whistle. So it uncomplicates life, and you find yourself just flowing with the Holy Ghost naturally. And you don't have to suddenly, oh, I need to hear God, let me go and get into my prayer closet or fast a day to hear the mind of... No. You don't have to do that. I mean, you just hear Him as you're going along. You're hearing the mind of Christ. Doesn't this make it simple for you? Now, I understand that some of you have got a lot to work through. But I know this, that the Holy Ghost wants to bring you into that freedom. Because, you know, what I say, a lot of you have a lot to work through. It's all of that doubt and unbelief that He really doesn't want to talk to me and so on. And so I want to encourage you to start practicing His voice in the little things. Just start with the little things. Start like Bev did with, Lord, what am I to wear today? Show me what to wear today. Tell me what I'm to wear. See, I was going to wear a long sleeve shirt this morning. I put it out this morning. And I was taking a shower, and the Lord said, don't put on a long sleeve shirt. You're going to be too warm. I said, okay. See, He knew. He knew I was going to be warm. Yeah, I'm sweat, you know. If I had a long sleeve shirt, I'd be too hot. So He said, don't wear a long sleeve shirt. Okay. He cares about me. If He cares for the birds that are going to get, the deer that are going to get shot tomorrow, or the poor antelope, whoever gets, He cares about them. He cares about me. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anyone. Yeah. He really does care. He cares about us. We're of so much more value than the animals. So much more value. He really does care for us. So I want to pray this morning, particularly as we have the anointing service, that the anointing that we're going to receive is going to be an anointing of open ears. You know, and more than just the open ears, because you do have open ears, but the believing heart. See, our biggest problem is with the doubt and unbelief in our hearts that we are hearing and can hear and all the rest of that mess. And so we're just going to pray that the Lord will just give you the assurance, boy, I can hear Him. I can hear His voice, and I am going to hear Him, and I'm going to walk in the works of the Father. It's so marvelous, you know, when you know you've seen what the Father is doing. See, I used to be so scared of that when it came to ministering. You know, how am I going to discern the voice of the Lord when I'm laying hands on people? What is the mind of God? You know, and there was a time when, boy, that was very, you know, serious with me. So I'd pray, I'd go and fast and pray about everything, you know, first, you know, and be sure. And I've come to realize it's just in the flow, the Holy Spirit. You have the mind of Christ. He speaks to you. He prompts you. You follow the prompting. You just follow His leadership and so on. It's just such a relaxing and such a freeing thing. It's so glorious. It's so wonderful. Well, bless the name of Jesus. Praise His name. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. 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 Praise You, Lord. Thank 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 You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. He is a spirit of revelation. Thank You that by the anointing we can hear the voice of the shepherd, the voice of the Father. I thank you that we have the mind of the Anointed One. And by yielding to that anointing, we can flow in the life and flow in the works of the Anointed One and flow in the works of the Father. Jesus had such a sense of unity with the Father that he could say, I and the Father are one. And I thank you, Lord, that we can come to that place where we walk in such unity and harmony with you that the prayer of Jesus will be fulfilled. That we'll walk in that unity. I in them and thou in me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Lord, there's going to come such a unity in the body of Christ amongst the body members because we're all flowing by the Holy Ghost. And we're all allowing one another to flow by the Holy Ghost. Lord, get away from us that critical spirit that examines where others are walking. Like Peter and John, when you spoke to Peter, and Peter looks over at John and says, well, what about him, Lord? And you said to Peter, Peter, mind your own business. Whatever I want to do with John is up to me. You follow me. You forget about John. If I tell John something, that's for John. It's not for you, Peter. You just follow me. Lord, I pray that we'll release one another to hear the voice. Hear the voice. Hear the voice of the Lord. And trust you instead of trying to trust in man. And trust you that you can lead us aright. Praise you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
This is the conclusion of this teaching. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you and thank you for listening.